Hello, Karen. This is Michael Criswell with Relentless Heart. I'm just taking a little break from my work, and I saw your very interesting email, and I thought I would just try to answer you back as quickly as possible. First, I would like to say thank you for the email, and thank you for following along me and others to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I really appreciate it, and I hope that the Lord continues to bless you as you listen and read His Word and obey His Word and follow hard after Him. So the first thing I would say to you is, sister, I understand how you feel. I've been reading that Bible for many years. I've been a Christian now for over 30 years. And even today, knowing the Father as I have been pleased, or rather as He has been pleased to allow me to know Him, there are still many deep, mysterious things in the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant. And there's many things that are quite upsetting. So I want you to know that I understand. And there's all kinds of things that Father has allowed that I don't understand why. I accept them by faith. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to God. And in Proverbs, it says that it is to God's glory to conceal a matter. So, you know, we also see in Isaiah, it says that His ways and thinking are so much higher than ours. They are higher than the heavens are above the earth. That His ways and His thoughts are not our ways and our thoughts. So that's the first thing that I bring to the table every time I come to something I don't understand. I find myself always willingly resolving it and suspending my need to make meaning under the premise that He is God and I am not, that He's doing things. I mean, like, I can't even completely understand Jesus Christ dying on a cross. I mean, that is so deep, so mysterious, so profound, so unsearchable. So even the good things in the Bible, there's so many things I can't understand. Like, while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Why? Karen, I don't understand that. I don't understand why, if God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and if God poured out His wrath on many other cities and peoples to show their wickedness, slaying all the Canaanite people, the people living in the land of the promised land where the Israelites were to move in, and the Amorites and their sins, and Egypt and all their sins, and why, if God rebuked them and brought such judgments on them, has He not completely destroyed this world? Why has God not destroyed our world when World War II came, when 60 million people slaughtered each other? Why did God not destroy this whole world at, you know, World War II, when, you know, all the Jews were killed and 60 million people were destroyed? And why has God continued to allow there to be this proliferation of evil and X-rated filth on the televisions and the science that men are so desperately trying to outlive their physical bodies and go beyond death, transcending death and putting consciousness into machines? And I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand why God blessed me, Karen, the way He did. Why has God promoted me in this ministry and given me this blessing when I'm such a fool my whole life? And I don't understand it. Why did God call me to raise me up and ask me to teach things that have already been taught much better by Christians that were much better than me, that were much more intelligent than me, that were much more faithful than me? I don't understand it. I don't understand why God didn't just drop me dead. There's the verse that says, you know, there's a sin that leads to death. I don't understand why God tolerates all this megachurch nonsense and why He hasn't dropped Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis and all these men dead from heart attacks. I don't understand these things, why He continues to be so long suffering. You see, I'm trying to make a point that there are many, many things that I do not understand. But I do believe that there is a little bit of meaning in the Bible on your particular question where you're asking about, you know, the animals. And I do every once in a while receive emails from people who care about animals, and they don't understand why we are able to eat meat, and they don't understand the harsh treatment of animals. And in particular, you're wanting to know why even did God allow there to be animals destroyed in the old covenant. And sister, I think that the answer comes down to this, that it is what God has allowed as a consequence, one of many, for the fall of man into sin through rebellion against God. That God has sought out many ways. Man is reaping what he has sown. The earth, even itself, is being punished. You know, think about it. You think of animals. It's not just animals. It's all of creation that is groaning and that has been subjected to decay and to the curse that was subjugated on the entire creation when Adam and Eve rebelled and sinned against God, led into deception by Satan. There's a verse of scripture in Jeremiah 12:4. It says, "How long will the land lie parched and the grass in every field be withered? Because those who live in it are wicked, the animals and the birds have perished." You see, so God allows animals, which were put under the dominion of man in the book of Genesis during the creation story, God subordinates animals under man. Man is given dominion. And so we will be also held responsible in the judgment for what God had to allow to happen to animals, because we were supposed to be given dominion over them and we corrupted the entire earth. Think about this, sister. We as humans, through our sin and rebellion against God, we have corrupted and brought death and destruction to all things on this earth. I mean, at one time, because of man's sin, God destroyed every living creature on this earth through the flood. Think about that. You know, we have to ask ourselves, why would God do that? I don't know why, but I can understand that God sees it as part of the consequences of the rebellion of man, who is the crowning achievement of this all creation. There is nothing on this earth higher in the creation order than man. And so when man, like for example, when a king is corrupt, all of that corruption bleeds down to his subordinates, down to his people that are loyal to him. And so the same thing seems to happen. It's the order of God's creation. Look at Zephaniah 1:3. "I will sweep away both men and animals." Why? Animals didn't sin. But it says, "I will sweep away both men and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. The wicked will have only heaps of rubble when I cut off man from the face of the earth," declares the Lord. So I believe any of these foreshadowings that you see, for example, in Joshua, where the horses are destroyed, and there's many other instances where animals are killed at the command of God, I believe this is a foreshadowing of the ultimate consequence of man's sin, the destruction of all living life on earth. It's like a foreshadowing, like perhaps some people like you in that day might have been conscious of, my goodness, all those horses died, all those cattle, all those whatever died, because of our sin or because of their sin. You know, they were wicked and God asked us to destroy them. You see, and I just have to trust that God knows without a doubt what he's doing. He's sovereign and he made that. So just as he made people, he made animals, and he has a right to do with them whatever he sees fit. I mean, this is God, and we have to be very careful and humble enough to not question God about, okay, you made me this way. Why did you make me this way? Okay, why are you doing this with me? And why did you do this with the animals? And God might say to somebody like you or I, he might say, Michael, those are my animals. Can I not do with them as I please? In Romans 9, God tells through the apostle Paul, he speaks of a conversation to Moses, and he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And he says, I will harden whom I want to harden. So we have to be very, very careful about judging God by our understanding, our level of thinking, our human five senses. Years ago, and perhaps you've heard this story, I was making oatmeal cookies, and I just had this like daydream while I was making them. I made homemade oatmeal cookies, and as they were cooling, I had this like illustration pop in my mind, like, supposing I came into the kitchen and all of these oatmeal cookies were having a conversation between themselves. And as I listened in, I could hear that they were grumbling against what was fair and what was unfair about their existence. And so one of them said, hey, you got more raisins than I did. That's not fair. And another one said, yeah, you're taller than I am. Or, hey, I'm not as round as you guys are. That's not fair. Look at me. And another one was maybe burnt a little bit on the bottom. And so, you know, I can take that cookie and throw it in the garbage. I don't want to eat it. And all the other ones like, hey, you can't do that. Why did you do that? And so I went into this kind of elaborate illustration of these oatmeal cookies conversing about what was fair about their existence and what was fair about what I chose to do with their existence. And then I bring the person back to the reality that just a few hours earlier, these oatmeal cookies did not exist and they had no plans to exist. They had no ability to exist. They existed in their separate elements, sugar, butter, brown sugar, flour, vanilla extract, an egg, et cetera, et cetera. But all separate on their own without having any understanding or conscious awareness of the existence of other ingredients. And they were not sitting around saying, hey, I have an idea. Let's all get together and we'll make something very delicious and enjoyable. No, they didn't do that. I was their creator and I'm the one that came up with the idea to make them. And I made them for my pleasure and according with what I wanted to do. So if I wanted to make all those cookies and take them out and throw them in the freezer, so be it. It's my will. If I wanted to take them out of that freezer, out of the oven and throw them in the garbage because I didn't like how they tasted, so be it my will. If I wanted to pack them in a dark box or whatever and send them to a friend of mine, so be it. I could do it. And I realized, what right do those oatmeal cookies have to tell me from their perspective what is fair about life and about their existence and what I can and cannot do with them, and that I don't have and you don't have any more of a right to talk to God that way and question his dealings with his creation and all of his ingredients than that oatmeal cookie does to say to me, why did you make me this way? And so I had a message called, we're all just oatmeal cookies. So I don't know, hopefully that helps you to perhaps make a little bit of meaning and understanding about it. But I really believe it all comes down to God is constantly showing us, just like the sacrificing of animals. You know, why is it that God instituted a sacrifice of animals? Well, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And so God's mercy is that instead of killing the person who sinned, he kills the next creature, lesser than the human, lesser than the crowning glory of his creation, he kills the animal. And so that is how I reconcile these things, is that it's a result of the terrible consequences of sin in this world. And I hope that helps you, sister, and maybe just pray and ask the Lord to give you more insight on it and to help you understand. But I always just trust, no matter what, that I know this, having walked with my God now for all these years, I know that my Father is loving and faithful and sovereign. I know also that he's strict and severe. But I know that he's very loving, very merciful, and that he works out everything to the good to those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. God bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the email. Bye-bye.